Well, Miss Pearson, who is the teacher at Woodland Hills Academy, might remember, and Lena might too, since she has been here before, that I grew up in Churchill. So I know your neighborhood really well. In fact, Chad just asked me, where's Chalfont? And I said, I know exactly where Chalfont is. And we're just looking at it on a map. I'm talking to four students. They're all in sixth grade. They go to Woodland Hills Academy. And we're going to talk about the projects they did for the Fairchild Challenge. First, let's meet each of them and also find out if they have any shout-outs or hellos they would like to say. They have a big entourage of people here with them, which is terrific. And why don't we start with Bella? Hello. Can you tell me about yourself, the community you live in, any hellos you'd like to pass along?
I live in Wilkins, and I live on Dowling Avenue.
That was my paper route. You don't tell me your exact address,
yeah.
But it begins with 39 or 40, right? Yep, that's I remember delivering papers. That was it. So that's great. Would you like to say hello to anybody?
I want to say hi to my family and friends at Woodland Hills Academy.
Excellent. And who brought you here today?
My mom and my grandmother.
Wonderful. Nice to have you here. Let's find out who's sitting on your left.
Hi, I'm Lena. I live in Forest Hills, and I shout out to my family and friends as well. And my parents brought me here.
Terrific. And then next we have?
Hi, I'm Isabel. I live in Wilkins Township on Lucia Road. And I'd like to say hello to Gia Zinn, Ella DeVore, Lena, Mia, and McKenna.
I like going down memory lane with these streets. Lucia is off of Roland, mm-hmm. If my memory's right. It's sort of... And what street in Forest Hills are you on?
I'm on Hawthorne.
That's off of Gilmore. No. But is that near the high school?
Yeah, it's on the other side of Ardmore.
Oh, I know where it is now. Yeah. I didn't know Forest Hills as well as I know Wilkins. And we'll find out about Chalfont. How many streets are in Chalfont? Chalfont's tiny. What's your name?
I'm Raven Dean. I'm in Chalfont, obviously. And I live on Elizabeth Avenue.
I remember Elizabeth. Oh, I know, right. Near Lyons Park, most likely. If it's still there, I hope it's still there. Any hellos you'd like to say?
Just to my parents and family, and especially my mom, who used to do radio.
She did? Well, that's great. We'll have you. So you're a natural. You're perfect. Perfect at this. So you've done a lot of projects, and I know the first one involved a book, and I'd love to learn more about it. Who can tell me about it? Just jump right in.
Well, the book, we had to do a project, multiple projects actually, on STEAM mentors. And for those who don't know what STEAM is, it's science, technology, engineering, and art. And math. And we had to make an art piece and do a little article on them and what their STEAM path was.
So you had different people that you profiled for the book. So I'm curious who some of the people were that you decided to focus on.
Me, Isabel, and Lena focused on Wangari Maathai. And she grew up in Kenya, and she came to the U.S. and actually went to University of Pittsburgh for school.
Interesting. And what does she do?
She's an environmental activist, and she likes planting and saving the environment.
Excellent. And did you focus on somebody different?
Yes.
Tell me about your person.
Me, my friend Lillian, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, and my other friend McKenna, we did a young girl by the name of Olivia Bowler, there was an oil spill near the Gulf of Mexico, and she really cared about birds at that time. And so she decided to make over 500 paintings and drawings of birds to raise money to help clean up the oil spill and the birds.
What a nice thing. So she used her artistic talent to get money, probably to get, a lot of those birds, I think, need to be washed by hand to get the oil off of their feathers. And it takes a lot of people, too, to do that.
Also, at that time, she was just 11 years old.
Wow. Do you know how many pictures she made or how much money she raised?
I think about 12,000, maybe more, probably more.
That's amazing. So these projects were done as, it sounds like, as trios or pairs of students did them. And then once you have, and you three did the first one that we talked about, and you did one. How many altogether came from your class?
There were 8 from 6th and 7th graders.
And where are they now? Can people read them, or did you put them all together?
Well, it's like in the book, and it's like in the challenge at for the Fairchild. So we put it all together on Google Drive, so it's there now. But
excellent.
Like,
well, we have a link to the Fairchild Challenge website that can probably find it there. Now, you made art to go along with what you wrote. Why don't I start with you, Raven? Can you tell me about the art, the piece you made to go with what you wrote?
Well, me and my team wanted to show all of Olivia's interest in what happened and why she cared so deeply for those animals. So she, in the center of the photo, we had her holding her book, which featured many of her art pieces and information on the birds, which also raised money to help clean up.
Do you know how old she is now?
I think around 20 years old, maybe.
Okay, and she
a little less.
But she did all this when she was about the age you are now, so that's got to be a pretty neat person to pick. How did you three illustrate your story?
Well, we had a photo. We drew a picture of Wangari Maathai, and then we had trees because she dedicated her life to planting trees. It's one of our photos.
And she was holding a tree in her picture, too.
Wow. Holding a tree that was already planted?
Yeah, like a little tree in like a pot.
Oh, very good. Well, if you're just joining us, these students are all from Woodland Hills Academy. It's the Phipps Fairchild Challenge we're talking about. Woodland Hills Academy is, I think it's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, right?
Or K through 8th.
Oh, it is. Oh, that's right. It's K. Yeah. I knew it stopped at 8th grade. K through 8th, part of the Woodland Hills School District.
Yes.
And these students are all 6th graders. And you did another project called Project Permeable. And I'm very curious about this because it addresses something that's becoming more and more of an issue here in the Pittsburgh area and across the country, really. Can anybody tell me about that one?
So this project, we found places that were not permeable, which means were not places where you could plant things and stuff like that. So we changed those and we made like rooftop gardens and things like that.
What does permeable mean?
Like almost porous. And objects easily pass through it, especially liquids.
So asphalt or concrete is impermeable, but sand is very permeable. Mm-hmm. And one of the big problems I think there is when it rains or when snow melts, if you don't have a lot of impermeable surfaces, where does the water go, right? It can end up in people's basements, it can end up flooding roadways, it can end up in rivers. And is that a problem, do you think?
Yes. It could, the rainwater could pick up pollutants in the ground or, you know, around that area. Pesticides, you know, things like that. And then it could end up in the ocean where it could hurt animals, or just in the ground where it could hurt animals and plants.
Like, it could flood, and then it could bring, like, maybe, like, plastics or trash into, like, the rivers, which could harm animals that are living there.
It seems like there's more problems with stormwater than there used to be. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
There's more pollution now, and there's more plastics and littering and things like that, so I think it makes a difference.
Yeah, and people paving things and building things must have a lot to do with it, too. So what did you do with your projects to address this issue and to learn more about it?
Well, we made, like, a poster, and we drew several pictures of, like, bioswales, green roofs, like, areas for trees and stuff, and we explained, like, what all those mean and how those could help out.
Can you tell me what a bioswale? I'm not trying to quiz you, but you're introducing some terms I'm not familiar with. What's a bioswale?
Like, almost like a mini garden, pretty much.
And it must be very good at soaking up water, I guess.
Yes.
So there are things, probably some things you plant are better at taking in water than other things.
Yes.
That's really interesting. And the rooftop garden is a good idea, too. Did you actually think of making one somewhere?
We actually have, or did have, a garden in front of our school. And since our roof is flat on our school, we thought, why not put a garden up there?
That's great. So you actually did it?
No. It's kind of hard to get up to the top of the
roof. Yeah, you would probably need some people to help. And it would be very cool to do that, though. So you've got posters, though, trying to raise awareness of this issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Other people know about it. Now, I know we talked about the book and Project Permeable. Is there anything we missed on either of those two topics?
We have a third challenge that we would like to talk about. It's about invasive species in Western PA. And us three worked on a project for it, and Raven worked on another project for it.
Okay. Tell me about, since you let off here, is tell me about yours.
So we decided to do zebra mussels, which came on a boat from another country and are now in Lake Erie and rivers all over PA.
Now, these are these little clam-like things, right? And from what I understand, they're on docks, they're on the hulls of boats.
Yes. They're like killing other clams and stuff. So
they all attach to one bigger clam than them and kill the clams.
Gosh. And so are there solutions to get rid of zebra mussels, or what did you learn about them?
There were, like, chemicals that you could use, but, like, it was kind of hard because you didn't want to harm, like, the rivers and stuff of where it might go into. Like, might kill other, like, species that are in the river, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like a really challenging issue. Are people researching how to fix it, or not you, I mean scientists and...
I think some scientists might research these because they are harming boats so they can't get out of their docks and go on the river.
Yeah, have you seen any of that, like, in person, what it looks like, or maybe pictures of it? It's kind of gross, right?
Yeah, they're all together. It looks weird.
The photo our friend drew to show this was a whole... a bunch of zebra mussels attacking this one clam and all on top of it and attached to it. And we saw photos, and it was really, gross.
So I would imagine that there's a biodiversity issue, too. Do zebra mussels push out other types of animals or sea life such that nobody else can kind of live there? Does that happen?
Sure.
I suspect it makes life a pain for people with docks and boats, mm-hmm. and that's difficult. But It probably pushes other forms of life out too. That's a great thing to call attention to. So you did this with pictures. You mentioned how else? What else did you do to address it as part of your project?
We wrote we drew a picture and wrote a little
like article about them, like explaining like what they do and how they affect people.
Mm-hmm. Good. So people learned about it. Do you feel like you introduced people? Like, did your family know about it already, or was this a new topic to anybody when you?
Probably.
It was a new topic to me. Like, I have never heard of a zebra mussel before, but I've, like, seen them, and, like, I recognized them when I saw a picture.
Mm.
I have heard of them before because when we went up to the lake, like, we go every year, there's always a ton of zebra mussels, like, around the boats and on the shore.
Very good. Now, you three also work together, and... Raven had partners too. They're just not here today. Who did you work with, Raven?
On this particular project, I worked with a really sweet girl named Lillian that I mentioned before on my first project. I mostly did the art piece, and she got some information for me, which was really nice of her.
And tell me what invasive species you focused on.
I chose to do the emerald ash borer, which is a small bug that is about the size of a grain of rice. It came here through wood packaging from Eastern Asia and just kept destroying all these ash trees so that other animals couldn't live in them.
I've never heard of those. Is it like a stink bug, like that size? It sounds like it's about that size. And I know those came over in wood, too. But are there a lot of these in Pennsylvania?
Yes, I think so. But not as much as there was in the past. There's closer protection for the ash trees now than back then.
Well, that's good. How did you call attention to it? What did you and Lillian do?
We just made sure to show the emerald ash borer in the worst light possible, so that people realize that this really is an issue that we need to tackle.
I wonder why it only goes for ash trees. Did you learn anything about that?
I think the bug has a specific nutrients that really needs to go to. And ash trees are really, like, different than most trees, for the most part. In appearance, in, like, structure, they're very unique, I'd say.
So they just know... what to go to. I'm not sure that I've seen an ash tree or that I would know what an ash tree looked like. Did you all get a chance to see them or to see pictures of ash trees?
I have never seen one before, but maybe one of my friends have.
I would imagine they're common in Pennsylvania because I think baseball bats are made out of ash.
Yeah.
And I know there's a company that makes baseball bats in Pennsylvania. Very interesting. Is there anything else you'd like to share about your invasive species projects?
There's a bunch more people who did a lot of more projects that couldn't be here today. I know Layla. I think she did the Norway rat.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And that was really cute. She did it with Ella, I think.
Yes.
And some other people did the chocolate vine, the garlic mustard, that all couldn't be here today.
All invasive species, things that grow. I know that vines grow really fast. There's one nicknamed Mile. I think it's called Mile a Minute Vine that just grows and grows. Well, what great projects you all have. Now, I'm curious... I guess about two things I'd like to ask you. One is, I'm going to give you a magic wand. This is radio, so here it is, this sparkling, beautiful magic wand that I've just given to each of you. And if you could change a couple behaviors of people to make the environment better, what would you do? You don't have to pick just one unless you want to, but can you think of things that you wish were different or that people did differently And you can just jump in when you feel like it.
I would say like global warming or something, because that's really harming the environment, and like all the gases that are being let out in the world, it's harming the environment by that, and I would fix that because it's a big crisis in our world.
That's from Bella, and it gets harder to go second. You all probably agree with that, I'm sure, but any others?
I feel more knowledge about the environment and how to help it and what's causing all of this would help people know more and be more motivated to help the environment.
That's Lena.
I wish that people would stop throwing plastics in rivers and stop littering, because it's hurting animals in the ocean, like sea turtles.
That's Izzy.
And I think there needs to be more awareness as well, because if people actually knew what was going on in general, they would definitely be more motivated. And just motivation in general would really, really help out with everything.
That's a really good observation. Just education. There's a lot of people that don't know what the four of you know. And it's not because they're not smart. They've just never been exposed to it before. It wasn't taught to people. Now, my other question is, I mean, Raven's 12, you three are 11. Have you thought about what you might like to do once you graduate from high school? And any thoughts yet?
No, not really.
Lena says, too early. What about?
I wanted to be a biochemist and just like study humans and the earth and stuff like that.
Nobody will be held to any of these decisions. Izzy, if you have anything?
I thought about being a doctor for a long time, and I think I might do that.
Do you know any doctors? Have you had a chance to talk to any doctors about that?
No.
It's a lot of work, yeah. But a great goal. Raven, what about you?
I have had a lot of decision-making because I'm not really sure what I want to do yet, but the main thing on my list would probably be some sort of therapist. Like, I'm not sure a physical therapist or like rehabilitation or anything like that, but I just want to help people any way I can. And if that means physically or mentally or environmentally, I just want to help.
Well, you girls are all really well grounded and have bright futures and bright presents too. Did anybody want to say anything they didn't get a chance to? Well, thank you very much, and thanks to Ms. Pearson for all of the work that she does with you. And you can learn more about the Fairchild Challenge by looking for the link to it at slbradio.org.